faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast. What an insane week it was. Let's start with insane thing number four. The Democrat Socialists of America takeover of the Democrat Party. Most folks on our side don't fully grasp what this means yet. Most people, and I see them talking about it online, and even pundits on Fox News, use words like progressive, socialist, and the way they talk about it makes it sound like, well, this is a New York commie corridor thing. Yeah, it's just going on in Seattle and LA and stuff, but yeah, not anywhere else. But there are actually two things that prove them wrong and make this all the more shocking. Thing number one, and this is insane, Hakeem Jeffries, the leader of the Democrats in the House of Representatives, he's the minority leader, made three non-Democrat Socialists of America endorsements in all three Congress races, and he lost all three of them. Again, he's the Democrat leader in Congress, and all of his candidates lost. What does that mean? Well, Hakeem Jeffries is from New York, and what it means is, if he runs again, he's probably going to be out, replaced by a socialist, and he's Democrat leadership. Chuck Schumer, the Democrats' leader in the Senate, knew better and didn't endorse sitting members of Congress against the Democrat socialist candidates. He was obviously too scared to. What does that tell you between Jeffries and Schumer? Well, The Hill nails it. Headline: Schumer, Jeffries couldn't win a primary in New York City right now, and they're in Democrat leadership. That's how fast this is gone. I mean, think about it. A year ago, Zohran Mamdani, or Mankami, as I call him, as a communist candidate, was something of a curiosity. After Wednesday, when all seven of his endorsees swept the races, Fox News called him a kingmaker, not just in New York, in the Democrat Party. And as Republican strategist Rachel Bovard pointed out this week, everybody's paying attention to New York, but Democrat Socialists of America candidates are winning all over the country. People just aren't noticing because a lot of the races are like, you know, the one Democrat seat on the city council in Arizona, you know, and it might be on a Republican board, used to be a Democrat one, but now these Democrat Socialists are winning these primaries. Why? CNN pollster Harry Enten knows why, and it's shocking. Back in 2010, in Gallup polling, Democrats still preferred capitalism to communism. But today, that's flipped. Back in 2010, 50% of Democrats said they had a favorable rating of socialism versus 51% had a favorable rating of capitalism. Today, 66% of Democrats say they have a favorable opinion of socialism versus just 42% who have a favorable opinion of capitalism. So, folks, the Democrat Socialist of America message is going to echo. But the truly most frightening stat I saw all week also came from Harry Enten. When polled across the board, Democrat voters preferred Democrat Socialist of America candidates in their primaries by plus 17 points. They preferred regular Democrat candidates by plus four. That's right. Democrats by 13 points, not 13%, 13 points preferred Democrat Socialists of America candidates across the country in polling.
And part of the reason for that, why we're seeing these Democratic Socialists having such good chances or downright outright winning nominations, Democratic Socialists of America, look at that, a plus 17 point net favorability rating among Democrats. That is actually better. That is better than how congressional Democrats are viewed by Democrats at just plus 4 points. So no wonder that Democratic Socialists have such a good chance, because simply put, they are a better brand at this point than Democrats in Congress.
Folks, do you remember me warning about this when everybody else was saying, oh, this is great. Yeah, no, we'll see how badly it goes for Mamdani in New York and we'll win all these races. I said, no, this is going to spread like wildfire till it's the Republican Party versus the Socialist Party. Great tweet on that this week from Jason Robertson. This is a problem many on the right don't want to accept. The left is no longer just like us. They just want to have more welfare. The left is abandoning capitalism, Christianity, and all the values we used to hold as a country, and that the right still does. This isn't a difference of opinion on tax policy. The left wants a full-scale reimagining of our country into a socialist communist utopia they think could exist if we just did it right this time. The other mistake that we're making is how we're talking about these people. Even on Fox News, I keep hearing them describe them as progressives and far leftists and even socialists. Well, yeah. But folks, look at the history in South and Central America. Look at the mass graves. When you get just a couple of percentage points of the population backing socialism, you end up with mass graves and Marxist guerrilla warfare, attacks, shootings. It's already happening. Our side of the aisle can't get together for an America 250 UFC fight without a cell of lunatic liberals making plans to drive the crowd into a sniper's nest so they can kill us all. They just got another guy trying to kill Charlie Kirk's wife. Folks, if you start paying attention to the news, it's once to twice a week now. There's a Democrat cell somewhere busted for planning a major attack or trying one. But that doesn't even fully encapsulate what I would argue we're not getting. These guys aren't just socialists. They've pledged to use violence to destroy America and achieve their goals. And somehow that's gotten short shrift in our media. Darlisa Avila Chevalier has been a graduate student for 7 years at Columbia, during which time she's led a group called CUAP, which, according to its chartering document with the university, which she wrote, quote, "We are Westerners fighting for the total eradication of Western civilization. We seek community and instruction from militants in the global South." How does she plan to do this? Accomplish her twin goals of destroying America, destroying the West, and helping the Palestinian resistance? By the way, she's a daughter of a Haitian immigrant from Florida, and she's converted to Islam. Now she says the Palestinians are the most important people to her. So what does she need to accomplish her goals? Quote, "Nothing short of the total collapse of the American empire itself." How's she going to do that? Quote, "Undermine and eradicate America as we know it," unquote. Well, she doesn't leave you guessing. Quote, and she wrote this, "Unrest and violence in America." And yet, that didn't give Zohran Mamdani any kind of pause when endorsing her, and the Democrat leadership, even though that's been all over X now, hasn't condemned it one iota. Even worse is what all their candidates believe. The Democrat Socialist of America last week put out a new updated party platform. And in it, they vowed that they want to eliminate the U.S. Senate, eliminate the presidency, eliminate the Supreme Court, hire an executive that answers to Congress, and make the courts not co-equal branches with the House of Representatives, because that's all that'd be left, but subservient to it. In other words, the courts and everything and everyone in them, answerers to the party. Folks, that is an authoritarian regime. Worse, that would annihilate the Constitution. The Democrat leadership should pledge not to allow her to be in their caucus and, if they control the House, not to seat her. The Republican leadership should do the same. She should not have a seat in Congress. There is no way this woman can put her hand on a Bible or a Quran or whatever and swear to uphold the Constitution that she's clearly trying to destroy. Oh, and by the way, you should see the part of the debate with her and another candidate where she insists that she wouldn't even deport murderers. And she wants to eliminate the police, eliminate federal prisons, eliminate ICE, and eliminate borders. Folks, there's nowhere in the world where those things exist, with the exception maybe of natural disaster zones where the government has collapsed. Think at this point, Venezuela, Haiti, maybe not even communist China is run with that level of misery. What they're describing is a literal chaos disaster zone. But yet another Zohran Mamdani endorsee who also won a seat in the New York legislature could be even worse. Abar Kawash, who campaigned in a full hijab, says that America deserved 9/11 because of our capitalism and our racism, and that she's not going to apologize for it. She also put several posts up on Tumblr sympathizing with and demanding the release of a terrorist who tried to blow up a New York synagogue. She says she knows him, Ahmad Farfani. She said she grew up with his family. I bet she did. Do you know any terrorists who've tried to blow up a synagogue? Those are the circles these people run in. Again, what's so astonishing is there's been no full-throated condemnation of what these people believe among the Democrat leadership at all. And our side, we've barely mentioned it. That's what's so astonishing. Once again, this is where we need a war room. We should be running ads right now with everything I'm telling you. A political party who wanted to win in the fall would, but we're just so discombobulated, we just can't seem to get it together. We've got a straight path to a midterm win. We just need to message it. Insane thing number three. Donald Trump is a showman. So we all know he can exaggerate. So when he said we will see investment in America at levels we've never seen before, well, folks, I've been telling you for a while that this year is when it was going to start to boom. Give me credit for that. And I knew that because of the new tax structure that fully welcomes for the first time foreign investment in America that's in the Big Beautiful Bill, and the fact that the Big Beautiful Bill took almost a year to pass and it didn't take effect until January. So I told you this was the year things were going to roar. But it turns out Trump wasn't exaggerating. Foreign investment in the United States is exploding, not just setting new records, but shattering them. Foreign investment surged to a record $884 billion in the 12 months ending April 2026. Now, listen to this. Not only did we hit an all-time high, but net capital inflows, i.e. foreign investment dollars, have nearly, wait for it, tripled since the start of 2025. What important things happened at the beginning of 2025, specifically January 20th? 2025. That's when Trump was sworn in. Folks, to listen to the globalist shiny shoes, banking, investment elites, Donald Trump, some kind of a buffoon, they probably wouldn't want to get caught hanging out with him, but they can't stop sending their money his way. The comparison between this and the investment under Joe Biden is shocking. The world's money is flowing here into America. Total private purchases of U.S. equities jumped to $763 billion in April, again, an all-time high. Official institutions' purchases rose to a record $121 billion, more than doubling since the start of the year. The Kobisi letter writes, global appetite for U.S. assets is unprecedented. Foreign investment in the U.S. is exploding. Let me put it another way, because I want to truly capture how astonishing this is. The previous high watermark for foreign investment under Democrats was a little bit, under Joe Biden, I should say, was a little bit above $18 trillion. It's the best we've ever done. But then it declined. What does it hit under Donald Trump? Almost $24 trillion. A line straight up. Now, folks, as one person wrote in the comment section under this, well, yeah, where are you going to invest? The UK? They don't even have air conditioning. So there's some of that going on, but it very much shows how this is the place to go in the world. And while Democrats tell us that Donald Trump's an embarrassment, these are terrible times for America, I'm sorry, you send your dollars where you are the most confident, regardless of how you might feel about politics, and the dollars say it all. Insane thing number two. I get this complaint all the time from folks who listen to my show. I get it on the text line. Donald Trump's just not getting it done with these deportation numbers. And they seem kind of low. ICE and Customs and Border Patrol have laid hands on and deported 900,000 and another almost 2 million have self-deported. At least that's what the numbers were the last time that they announced them. I've noticed they've stopped announcing them. which is good. I don't want the Democrats to have them. But it seems slow to people. I mean, Donald Trump said we were going to get them all out. Why isn't he doing it? He's failing. He's weak. No, it's not his fault. Democrats have sued to stop everything that he's doing. And most of what he's been doing since then is fighting them in court. Well, like popcorn this week, he won three major deportation cases. Number one, temporary protective status, the ability to send back people who were brought in by Joe Biden, like the 350,000 Haitians, because of humanitarian disasters. Trump just won that this week. But it's another one of the cases I'm most excited about. Trump was fighting for the right for expedited deportations for folks, millions of people. Democrats said, you can't do it. What does the law say? The law passed about 30 years ago says if you've been here less than 2 years and we've encountered you, we've laid hands on you, you don't have to have any kind of deportation hearing in front of a judge. You can just be picked up and sent right back home. Okay, yes, we'll process you through a facility first, but we don't have to wait 7 to 10 years worth of backlog cases to put you in front of a judge. By the way, you ever heard about that system? We're 7, 10 years behind. That's why we have to let them run around. Where'd that come from? Because it's not what the law says. Oh, George W. Bush made it up. When he was the president, keep in mind he's the executive, so he can decide how he implements the laws. He wrote an executive order essentially saying, well, we're not going to really send him back unless we catch him within, you know, 14 days or with 100 miles of the border. Otherwise, you know, they have to have a hearing. So, folks, a lot of this backlog that, you know, all these people waiting for their hearing, it's fake. They don't have to have a hearing. Bush made that up. And Joe Biden, when he came back in, reinstated it. They fought Trump on it in his first term. So they fought him again a second time, basically arguing, well, the law says this, but George W. Bush says that. So we should go with whatever Bush says. Well, this wound its way through the courts for a full year. It is absolutely absurd that the Democrats were arguing we should go with whatever Bush says and whatever Biden says over what the law says. And they're just dragging it out, trying to keep these people here. Well, we just won, folks. What does that mean? Trump's going to be able to lay hands on millions and throw them out the door. I think what you're going to end up seeing is a lot of these people taking Trump's free ticket offer and flying out of the country. Because at least with the free tickets, you get $2,500 a head to restart your life. If they catch you cold, you just go out the door. So I think you're not only going to see mass deportations here of the millions because you can now, but you're going to see people mass deporting themselves. In a way, he simply wasn't allowed to do before. And here's the even better and, quite frankly, more hilarious part about this. You remember in the Big Beautiful Bill, the Republicans smartly, and they don't do much that's smart, but this was smart. The Republicans smartly funded the Department of Homeland Security, ICE, and Customs and Border Patrol through 2029, right? Well, when Democrats shut down the Department of Homeland Security, made those TSA lines long, harassed everybody because they didn't want to fund ICE and Customs and Border Patrol. Well, that reopened the issue. And guess what? Republicans walked away with another $70 billion in funding they wouldn't have had if the Democrats didn't shut down the Department of Homeland Security. So they've got another $70 billion on top of that with which to deport all these people. And now they've got the legal ability to do it too. Insane thing number one, Trump finally fighting the Bush-controlled Senate. See, the problem in the Senate is that the people who tend to rule there have the most seniority. And those are all people who were brought in under the evil Bush-Rove era. And they are, quite frankly, themselves evil, like John Thune. For 300 days, he's assisted the Democrats by blocking the Save America Act. Then, under intense, insane pressure, because his name trends a couple of times a week on X due to the outrage, he had to allow a vote, which he then undermined. Folks, it doesn't look like progress, but it is, because he vowed he'd never have a vote, and now he's held multiple votes. Well, there was a vote last week on one of the versions that passed in the House, and guess what? It got 50 votes. We'd only need J.D. Vance as a tiebreaker. That was an amendment vote, but what it shows is in that form, there are the votes to pass it. All John Thune needs to do now is allow a filibuster. an old-fashioned one, the kind we've done since the founding. It'd probably take 2 or 3 weeks of, you know, people talking. But then we could vote, and we need 50 plus one, and we've got it. So the desperation to keep this from happening is pretty absolute among the evil Republican leadership in the Senate. They are desperately trying to help Democrats protect their voter rolls so that Trump can't get a hold of them. And again, I keep telling you, the most important part of the SAVE Act is not the part where everyone needs an ID to register and to vote, although that will do massive wonders for cutting down on voter fraud. No, no, no. The most important part is where they have to turn their voter rolls over for inspection. How many ineligible, ghost, dead, and illegal immigrant voters voting in federal elections, which is illegal, are we going to find on those voter rolls? Folks, the number in my head has always been around 12 million or so. I was wrong. And in all fairness, I always underestimate these people. They're always so much more evil than I think. Chuck Schumer gave us the number this week. It's astonishing that Democrats know it with this level of specificity, but it explains why they're fighting the SAVE Act so hard.
They will remove 25 million people off the rolls. Why? What it does is it says every state send your election rolls not to the Justice Department or the voting division, but to the Department of Homeland Security, where Musk and Doge and Vote have installed an algorithm that determines whether you're legitimately right to vote or not. The algorithm is a fix. It'll knock 20 million people, 30 million people off the rolls, and they don't tell you.
Okay, first, listen to the specificity there. Democrats know how many of these voters are on the rolls. That's what's so incredible. When he says it'll knock the people off the rolls, yes, because they're not eligible to vote. But he tells a lie there, too, where he says, well, they'll be knocked off the roll. No, they won't. Donald Trump will merely expose them. All of those rolls are maintained at state boards of elections, in state hands. Trump can't remove anybody from the rolls because there are no federal voter rolls. Now, why would Chuck Schumer, leader of the Democrats in the Senate, go on television and let that cat out of the bag? He's preparing his sheeple. When we find those voters, and we will, one way or another, it's going to be very shocking. And so they've got to prepare them for the shock, confuse them, make them think these are Americans, these are people who are alive or not duplicates or ghost voters who they've merely made up. They've got to prepare them for that. That's why he dropped the number, because it's huge. Now, it was glorious this week when all those Republicans, leaders in the House and the Senate, descended on the bill signing that Trump was supposed to sign, that housing bill. And then he refused, saying he's not going to sign any other bill of any kind. And by the way, he's refusing also to sign the reauthorization of FISA, one of the deep state uniparty's favorite illegal spy tools. Gosh knows they've used it on Trump more than anybody else. He's refused to reauthorize FISA. So when he threw the gauntlet down this week, it was truly insane, because I've never seen a president do this to his own party, saying, nope, no more legislation for you. Too bad, until I get the SAVE Act. It was glorious. And they were shocked by it, too. But all of that wasn't the most insane thing, because you heard Chuck Schumer say there that Doge has built that database, which is glorious. In other words, where they can automatically tell if you're a citizen or not. By the way, they're using that for welfare as well, too. That's revolutionary. But they can run the voter rolls against it. Well, right now, the Democrats are, as I've told you many times, refusing to turn over their internal voter rolls. If we pass the SAVE Act, we'd have a right to those. In fact, we could go in and get them, because by law, we'd be entitled to them. But short of that, Trump's doing almost the next best thing, which is going around and collecting the external facing voter rolls, the ones you or I could just go and get today. And they have all the names, the addresses. What they don't have is the last four of the social. So Doge should be able to get pretty close just running the forward-facing rolls, but it won't be perfect. And Democrats will use that against us, because without the social, it's hard to tell. But or, by the way, the driver's license number matched up, too. That's what the internal rolls would show. So what Trump is doing right now, and this is hilarious, he's putting together a list of approved voters, legal voters, real voters for each state. So he's going and getting the external facing rolls, running them anyway, and then putting out lists of, hey, these are the real voters. Because remember, voting records are public. Not who you voted for, but the fact that you voted, where you live, and what your name is, right? So what happens? This is a warning shot across the bow to Democrats. Look, we've seen your list. We've seen your voter rolls. We know who can legally vote. And he's publishing it for each state because, again, the evil Republican leadership won't pass the SAVE Act. They're trying to save the Democrats. That's why. And they know they need voter fraud. Okay. So did you see what happened this week? Judge Sparkle Sukhnanan, born not in America, but in Trinidad, actually ruled that Donald Trump is not allowed to look at the federal government's own databases. Okay. He's in charge of administering them. Social Security, Homeland Security, the mail database, so we can see who's moved, you know, and who's still on the rolls, who's voting in multiple states. Because sometimes the Democrats are voting for them is what they're doing. That Donald Trump is not allowed to look at those databases and is not allowed to take the voter rolls they've gotten from the boards of elections. The ones, again, that anybody can get by requesting them. Trump is not allowed to run the names on those voter rolls against those databases. She actually issued a nationwide injunction, which, by the way, the Supreme Court says is unconstitutional and she can't do. She can only do it for her small slice of America, her relatively small federal district. But this is a level of desperation. The Democrats, she just ignored that Supreme Court ruling and said he can't do it. And her only reasoning was because this would cause people to be thrown off the voter rolls. Well, hopefully, yeah. But at this point, again, Trump can't throw anyone off the voter rolls, yet she pretends in her ruling, using almost the same language as Chuck Schumer, that somehow he can throw the people off the voter rolls, and that if he runs the list, they'll be excluded. Again, he doesn't have the ability to do that. All voter rolls are maintained at the state level. So this is a massive pretend on her part. They're gonna lose this one, and Trump's gonna run at least the, you know, less rigorous voter rolls through this thing. They're just buying time and hoping that they can get, you know, control of Congress, maybe win the presidency in time to stop Trump from figuring this whole thing out. And folks, again, I told you this would be massive. The number, the sheer number of fake, ineligible, illegal immigrant, dead, whatever, ghost voters on these rolls would be massive. But again, 25 million? Yeah, if I were them, I'd fight too.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.